Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of May, recording at 9:23 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. And we've seen more of the same. As a matter of fact, we can say last week, and certainly this week so far, markets have been in much more of a risk-off environment than we have seen previously during this corrective phase, this predictable corrective phase. Now, there are reasons for that, which I'll come back to, but first, we did see a weakness in most of the Asian stock markets, and that included this time China, which had been showing a lot of relative strength, still is, but it was clipped a bit today. European stock markets were lower with the exception of the German DAX index, and although they closed off the lows, the Spanish IBEX index was still down 2.77%. In the Americas, we had some seesaw activity, but closing weaker. Now, Wall Street had been quite soft earlier on, but then pegged back those declines, nearly moved to unchanged, but then it did slip again in the last hour. And we have declines of 0.67%, less than 1%, in other words, for the S&P, but that would nevertheless, it was down another 9 points to 13.54 and change. NASDAQ down a little less. Long-dated government bond prices have remained steady against this environment. The dollar has also remained steady. And today we saw the euro break beneath that 130 level where it's found support for a number of weeks. And we've got the Aussie dollar back to not quite to 100, but close to it. And we also have seen, well, sterling has held up reasonably well, 161.39, down just a little bit, but a generally steady dollar. Precious metals have been soft again against that background, albeit off the lows of the day. We saw some pretty sharp sell-offs this morning and early this afternoon before they were, as I say, they were paired. But gold still closed down 14 here today. It's trading at 1591 as I speak. Silver at 2921, and it got down to 2861. The energy sector, we have crude oil sort of unchanged in Brent, down a little bit in crude to 96.54, well off the day's lows. Natural gas is firmer again, up to 2.44. Industrial metals were lower, and grains and beans mostly lower as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I said that we were back into more of a risk-off mode here for markets, and the evidence of that is the sharp declines that we've seen commencing last week and certainly carrying into this week. Now, when I said predictable event there, we had the elections on Sunday, which, although partially discounted, I think the Greek result caught people by surprise, and the Hollande victory did not encourage investors particularly, because it introduces a lot more uncertainty, particularly regarding the near term. And markets have continued, say, to lose upside momentum where they had been relatively strong, but the spread between the top performing and the bottom performing markets is absolutely enormous. The wooden spoon definitely belongs to the European periphery, but, well, mainly the European southern European stock markets, which are right down testing, or in the case of Greece, below their 2008-2009 lows. The European banks index is also weak, and we had the Spanish bond 10-year yields push above 6% here today. That's a bit of a warning flag here generally for the region. So Europe, with its prospect of a second Greek election, because they'll fail to put together, almost certainly will fail to put together any kind of coalition government that can survive. Another election in June, and we've got, before that, we've got the Irish vote on that stability, so-called treaty, and a lot of things to unnerve investors in here right now. And then global GDP growth is slower. That's certainly been confirmed by the decline in the continuous commodity index, currently in its 13th month overall, and it has fallen sharply along with stock markets here quite recently. Now, we've mentioned that the decision to raise deposit requirements for a lot of these contracts, basically in an effort to discourage too much speculation, particularly in crude oil. That's a good thing. I support that type of policy, because, as I've said for years and years, that commodities were never intended to be a buy and hold asset class. So that's been a contributing factor recently, but certainly that doesn't explain the decline of the prior year. And we can attribute that, I think, mainly to a slower global GDP growth, leading to less speculation in commodity markets here generally. Now, the silver lining in that is that we do not have commodity price inflation right now. Crude oil, we'd like to see it lower, and lower still, and we may well get there. But the fact that commodity prices, and food prices in particular, are not moving higher, nor are industrial metal prices, that all means that governments can be less concerned, for the most part, about inflationary pressures, at least from commodities, and can therefore be a little bit more accommodative in their policies going forward. The countries that are in the best position to do that are the growth economies, China and India and so on. And I do expect more monetary stimulus. There are rumors put about by Bill Gross and Goldman Sachs that the Fed is going to be introducing a QE3 sometime around June. Well, they may be hoping that that's the case. I think I obviously can't speak for Mr. Bernanke, but I would wager that he is hoping to avoid that, because another large stimulative program would be at least a partial admission that the other programs had not succeeded, at least to the extent that they had not created a sufficiently self-sustained recovery in the U.S. for the Fed to be able to back off. And they may well be under political pressure attend to the employment half of their dual mandate. But I don't see QE3 as doing a lot for employment overall, although it has had a good track record since its introduction in fueling stock market rallies. And so therefore, a lot of investors and investment managers would be quite keen to to see that introduced once again. Meanwhile, we remain in a corrective phase. I've said it would go on for at least a few weeks and possibly a few months. When you get a couple of weeks, such as we've seen recently, that brings you closer to the eventual bottom. But we're not there yet. We see no evidence yet that that we are there. So I think, well, my message is expect a bit more of the same. Now, in terms of opportunities, anything that brings share prices lower and regarding the companies that you're particularly interested in, I think that's a good time to deploy cash if you have cash, and many investors do. Many investors have been underinvested and missed out on the fourth quarter of last year's rally and the first quarter of this year's rally. But in investing, I think that I would want to have a reasonably conservative portfolio, in that I would favor companies that first have global reach and also that have attractive, well-covered dividends. And for that reason, those are the companies I would strongly favor, as you know, dividend aristocrats, some of the autonomies that have seen mean reversion to their 200-day moving averages. But I would and have put up with the degree of volatility here in stock markets, because the alternative in cash or in bonds is not that attractive. They provide very little real return, if any, whereas we can get decent dividends and growth prospects in stock markets, albeit in a more volatile environment. And that's going to, it's going to remain that way, I think, for possibly some time. I don't think we'll see any dramatic sell-off, anything like we saw in 2008, but equally, we could remain range-bound for a lengthy period with some volatile activity during that time, and therefore we want to be well compensated with nice yields for holding those positions in equities. And I think that's pretty much it. Gold, still waiting to, I'm still waiting for gold to establish a higher low. Got down to 1580 here today, so that's taking it within about $40-$50 of the lows that we had seen last year. And we do need, or I'm still looking for that evidence of a higher reaction low in precious metals to convince me that we are in the accumulation phase of an ongoing secular bull market. I think we will get that evidence, but we don't have it yet. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.